As we get into God's Word today, I wanted to share with you a few of my own memories that I have about prayer. My earliest memory of prayer was when I was a young girl growing up on the farm, and we would gather around the big old kitchen table for every meal, and Dad would begin every word or every meal with the Lord's Prayer. So that's one of my earliest memories that I have of prayer. And it's wonderful, and it's a gift that I feel that He gave us as a family. And then as I learned other prayers, I learned how to pray before I went to bed at night. So I would pray that standard, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." We all know that prayer. And then as I grew older and older, I would start to pray those spontaneous prayers from my heart. And I would just, in those times, just grow more and more in my prayer life with God. And then I also remember as a young girl going to church, and the pastor would pray the long prayer. Remember that? They used to call them the long prayers because they really were long. And it seemed like they were always in this like King James kind of language or something. I don't know, but they were just incredibly long. And I remember also in junior high, I experienced for the first time someone who just spontaneously prayed in our moment of need. We were in the car in a raging blizzard on the way home from Huron to Corsica, and the lady in the back seat just prayed out loud to God to carry us home. And that made such an impression on me. I just remember that as that was the first time that I remember it, at least experiencing that. And then as an adult, I remember being in church one time, and we had a guest speaker. And he asked us all to pray out loud at the same time our own individual prayers. So there was about 400 people in the room, and we were all to just speak our own prayers out loud at the same time. And I was just amazed. It was just an incredible sense of the Spirit moving around in that room and an understanding that God can hear each individual prayer and just bringing it up as a corporate prayer all at the same time. It was just an amazing experience for me. What about your prayer life? What is your experience with prayer? Prayer is something that God desires His children to do, and not that we just throw out a couple of minutes of prayer every day to say that we've prayed and move on to the other stuff of our day, but to really get close with God, to really abide with God in prayer. If you're able today, would you stand for the reading of God's word? We're in Psalm 62. It's a psalm of David. David writes, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath, and those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, and twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work." Let's pray. God, I thank you for your living word. Teach each one of us today from your word. May it come alive in each one of us. Help us experience you as our God alone, our fortress. Amen. Thanks. So you may be seated. We are now a couple months into the brand new year, and I need to ask you this. What is the pace of your life? We are living in a time where we are the most technologically connected that we have ever been. It's true that most of us all have at least one device, right? Some of us, me included, have multiple devices. We have phones, we have tablets, we have iPads, we have iPods, we have computers. We're texting, we're calling, we're emailing, we're Snapchatting, we're Twittering, we're Periscoping, we're Instagramming. Are there any others? There probably are. I'm not really too much of a techie. I think there's even more. We have more cable channels than we could even possibly watch. And did you know that Netflix now has over 60 million subscribers in 40 different countries, and you can stream thousands of movies right into your living room? In early December, I took a trip to New York with my two sons, and we wanted to experience New York City at Christmas time. And we packed as much as we could into the 4 days that we were there. And while we were there, we truly experienced what they call the New York Minute. Have you ever heard of this New York Minute? It's where everything happens in an instant. Johnny Carson once said that the New York Minute is the time that it takes for a light to turn green in Manhattan and the guy behind you to honk his horn. So that's the New York Minute. It's an old phrase. And really what it's getting at, it's referring to that frenzied and hurried pace that the people in New York experience. And strangely enough, it was people in Texas that coined the phrase New York Minute. But just because we live here in Iowa or in South Dakota doesn't mean that we're insulated from all of that busyness of life. So that's why I ask, what is the pace of your life? How are you doing in your prayer life? Do you even have a prayer life? Is your daily prayer time something that you struggle to find time for? And then when you do get there, you hurry through it so that you can get on to the really, really important stuff of the day. As I studied Psalm 62 this week, it really spoke to me. And I hope it does to you as well today. I'd like to share with you what I believe is God's word for us today from that psalm. First, and it's an expression, it's David's testimony, really. And it's an expression of the confidence that he puts in God alone. And second, it's this really sincere and urgent exhortation to all people to put their trust in God, and God alone. So first, we're going to look at that word alone. Psalm 62:1, we read, says, "For God alone, alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." When is the last time you truly experienced being alone with God? Just the two of you. You and God. No distractions. No cell phone. No iPad. No TV. The word wait in this verse means to rest. It means to literally rest in silence with God. So when's the last time you were alone with God in silence? Solitude is a rare thing anymore, and it's really hard to come by. We have all kinds of people and activities that pull for our time and for our attention. We carry our phones around in our hands. We're constantly interrupted by the little sounds and the little flashes of light that run across our screens. But David writes, God alone. And it's not in the sense of being alone, but it's more like being in this exclusive relationship. In high school, we used to go steady. You know what that means, I hope. Maybe, I don't know if kids do that anymore, but we used to exchange our class rings with our boyfriend or our girlfriend, and it meant that we were in this exclusive relationship with that person. I wore Joel's class ring in high school. I'll confess that. In marriage, we take vows, and we promise to forsake all others. We're exclusive to that one person. And if you're a Christian, then you are joined with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. You're dedicated exclusively to God, who cares for you, who loves you. David writes, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." It's not for God plus my anxiety. It's not for God plus my fear. It's not plus my work, but it's for God alone. David waits in silence. How many of you are good at waiting for something? Are you able to simply be in the moment and be okay with it? I think when we're waiting for God to answer our prayer, to move in a way that we can really, really see, we are tempted to take matters into our own hands. You know, why wait for God when we could just, I know I shouldn't, but oh, he's taking too long, and if I just did this or that, we get into trouble when we start doing that. Waiting for God is a sign of our faith. When we are waiting for God, our soul says, I can trust. I can wait. So how do you wait? Do you wait for God alone? Nighttime can be so long. And it seems that nighttime, when we're lying there in the dark, is the prime time for the enemy to be at work, planting fear or whatever it might be in our spirits, planting doubt. I recently met a woman who has cancer, and she said to me that nights are so incredibly hard for her. She'll wake up frequently, and when she wakes up, she's just overcome by this fear of her cancer spreading, fear that she might be really sick from the side effects of the treatment, fear of dying. But she said that in those moments of waiting for the night to turn into day, she turns to God alone, and she begins to sing psalms. She sings psalms and hymns to God, and it fills her with peace. She's waiting for God and for God alone. And how about silence? Silence just puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? David has known pain. We read in those verses that Heather read that he has known pain. He has enemies who prowl around after him, but he doesn't scream out in pain in this psalm. He's not cursing the Lord. He's not running around. He's still. He's silent, and he's with God. No matter what his circumstances, he's found a place to be at rest with God. When's the last time that you had complete silence with God? When is the last time you waited with God alone? David was waiting for salvation. David waited for God alone because God was his only source of hope. David is waiting for the one who can bring him that salvation. He's waiting for the one who heals the sick, for the one who feeds the hungry. He's waiting for the one who can bring the dead to life. He's waiting for God alone because God is the only one who can do this. David has some real life problems, yet he waits in stillness before God. He knows that he needs what God has, and so he is able to wait. He knows that God is the only one who is going to help him. So, church, are you waiting? Are you waiting on God to help you, to deliver you from your enemies? Pray for your enemies. Pray for one another. Pray for your families. Are you waiting for God to do something inside of you, to change something inside of you, to free you from anger or bitterness or lust or addictions? Are you waiting for Jesus alone? Are you waiting for Jesus' return when you will receive your eternal salvation, for the time when he will be among us again? If you are waiting on anything or anyone else, then you will be waiting in vain. Anything other than God is just not going to do it. 62 verse 2 says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. I love this image that David gives us as God as my rock. Is God your rock? Are you able to say, God is my rock? He has picked me up out of the mire and he had put your feet on a solid place, on a solid rock. Can you say that? Is that your testimony? God stabilizes us. He makes us strong. He helps us stand. Those who wait on the Lord have this rock. David goes on to describe God as his fortress, and I just love this. What do you think of when you think of a fortress? Maybe you're picturing high walls and large gates and soldiers at the top that are armed. They're standing guard. It's this whole image of keeping something out, isn't it? Or maybe you think of a fortress as safety and security, where there are different levels of security that you pass through, and once you're on the inside, you are safe. Nothing can get at you. You know, there's layers of security in prisons. There's layers of security in hospitals. There's layers of security in airports. And if you get through security, then you've made it in. You've made it into a secure area. David says that God is his fortress. And when he's meeting with God, nobody's getting in there. Nothing else is going to get in there. The fortress is God's protection from the dangers of life. Brothers and sisters, there is so much to gain when we are in the fortress with God. When we're in prayer with God, when we are with God alone, when we are waiting on God, we get his insight. We get his perspective. Things become clearer. It's in your fortress where you can empty your pockets. You can show your cards. You can bring everything you have. You can pour out your heart to God. Bring him your hurt. He'll take it. Your pain, he'll take it. Your frustration, he'll take it. Bring him your desires. Bring him your joy. He'll honor it. But just please do not miss getting into the fortress with God. If you struggle to make time with God, and I know we all do, then make it an appointment on your calendar, if that helps. Make it a time that's not hurried or rushed. And if you have questions about how you can go about structuring your prayer time, come and talk to me or to Pastor Richard or send me an email. I'd be happy to spend some time with you figuring out how to get in to that fortress. Great, great things happen in the fortress. Peace is found there. Prayers are answered. Ideas are born in the fortress. David realizes that it is God alone who encourages him. David moves from in verse 2 from saying, "I will not be greatly shaken," to verse 6 where he says, "I will not be shaken." The longer he's with God, the greater the realization that God is his fortress, the greater calm he begins to experience in his heart. He wasn't depending on himself or his own resources, but on the Lord alone. No doubt, when we are waiting, it can be very difficult. But do you have a fortress? Do you have your safe place? Is God your rock? And now David's exhortation to all of us, and it comes in verse 12. "To you, Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work." God alone is the one who gives the blessing. It's not going to come from anywhere else. No matter your social class or your wealth or your power, we're all but a breath, the psalm says, and we need to put our trust in God alone, not in our own human ability. Brothers and sisters, God's grace and his strength, his loving kindness is sufficient for absolutely every crisis of life, for we're in the hands of a God whose love can never, never fail. So prayer is vital. And it's necessary for life. And the reality is that there are so many distractions all around us that I think prayer has become a very low priority. And pretty soon we start to believe that we don't even need it. We tell ourselves that prayer is okay when we can fit it in. It's a good thing, but, you know, I really don't have time for it. Kind of like our relationship with exercise. We know it's good for us. And we get distracted, and we miss a workout, and we let it go, and then tomorrow we get distracted again, and we miss another workout, and pretty soon we're just not doing it anymore, and pretty soon we get weak, we get flabby, we get vulnerable, we start to make mistakes. I need you to think of prayer today as something that you need every single day of your life, something that is essential to your life. You need God alone. You need to wait on God, and you need to learn to wait in silence for God and resist taking matters into your own hands. You need the salvation that comes from God alone. Get alone with God. Get in that fortress where nothing and no one is getting in. I want you to be able to say that God is your rock. I want you to be able to say that He alone is your salvation. Get into the fortress with the Lord and experience His mercy and His love like never before. Would you please stand as I pray and we can renew our commitment to prayer. God, our rock, our fortress, our salvation, thank you. Thank you for your steadfast love and your patience with us. Forgive us when we have not spent time with you in prayer. Lord, renew our faith as we renew our commitment to prayer. Reveal yourself to us like never before, for you are our God and our God alone. Amen.